Crossover. Good morning, everybody. There's nothing like a good sports ball tournament, I tell you. That is awesome. Man. They made my morning with that. Thank you so much, Julie. Oh, my goodness. It's great to be back. Good to see you all. Yeah, so great to be back with you and continuing on throughout this Advent season. Let us get ready for the word, and let us do that by opening up in prayer. Father, we seek your face. We seek your will. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Would you allow us to rest in your peace, your will, your way, to receive all that you have for us, and help us to be a blessing to others as we continue to live this life that you've blessed us with. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. My mother taught me a valuable lesson that I hope that you all have learned throughout your lives at some point, somewhere, some way. She taught me to never, ever offend the person who's preparing your food. You know what I'm talking about? Never mess with that person who's messing with your food. Maybe you can relate to this story. You see, I have a cousin who is known for making his opinion heard, for always known for expressing himself in quite boisterous ways. Maybe you know somebody like this. Maybe you have somebody like this in your family. If you're thinking, no, I don't, maybe it's you. So this cousin wants to get something to eat, makes his way to the local Burger King, goes to the drive-thru. And so he's in the car, and he wants to let the server know that he wants this meal his way. You gotta have it your way if you're at Burger King, right? And so he lets the server know that last time I was here, that bun that you gave me was stale. It was old. It was all hard and tough. I had to chew all hard to get through it. Last time I was here, y'all gave me that old lettuce. It was all wilted and soggy and nasty. I want that fresh lettuce on my sandwich this time, y'all. I'm paying you, so you make sure you get it right. And last time I was here, you gave me those tomatoes that were sitting in the back of the refrigerator. I know it because they were frozen. I bit into it, almost lost my teeth. It was a horrible experience. Will you make sure you give me fresh tomatoes on my sandwich? Now, if you're in the car with a person who's ordering like that, make sure you step out of the car and go in and order your food. Don't order with them, because somebody is not going to be happy with their meal, okay? They're going to mess that food up. And so, I don't know about you, but I want to have peace when I eat my food. I want to eat my food in peace. I don't want problems with my order. I don't want to stress the person out who's serving me because they're dealing with the food that I'm going to put in my body. I want the server to be at peace when they're serving me. I want the cook to be at peace when they are preparing my meal. I want everyone to be at peace. And if there are problems, I want to handle those problems in a peaceful way. I want to talk to the person peacefully to solve whatever problems that they are, because I don't want special sauce on my sandwich. Ooh. No, I don't. You see, I want peace in my life. I want peace in my marriage. I want peace with my child. I want peace in my relationships. I want peace in my life. I want peace in my health. I want peace. We all want and need peace in our lives. What area in your life do you want and need peace in? You see, Advent should be a time of peace. It is a time of peace. We are waiting with expectation for the King of Kings to bring his perfect peace to this planet. Christmas is a time to peacefully enjoy with our family members. It's a time where we can have dinner and conversations and exchange gifts and be at peace, right? Isn't that what it's supposed to be? Well, that's the ideal, but it's rarely the real. It's rarely the real, because often at Christmas time, we are at our most stressed, aren't we? We're worried about that gift that our child asked for and how much it will cost. We're concerned and stressed out about how far are we going to stretch our credit this year. We're stressing out about the Smiths across the street and how much they've spent on decorations. And do we need to keep up with them by spending more money and putting on a bigger light show? We're stressed about the dinner and the time that we're going to spend with family and that family member that's going to come, who's always stressing everybody out with their interesting conversations. You know, that's why we changed the time this year for dinner, hoping that they won't catch on and won't show up. You know, we're stressed out about so much stuff. Where is the peace in Christmas? Where is the peace in our lives? Where is the peace that we so desperately need? And why do we keep doing this every year? Maybe we need to shift our focus. Shift our focus from the stressful to the peaceful this holiday season. Isaiah chapter number 9, verse number 6, what we're basing this series off of, A Light Will Shine. It reads this way: "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." For this series, we're examining the light that shines through the prophecy of Messiah in this verse. Today, we want to focus on the prince. Not that one. Not the one who sang about the girl with the raspberry beret. The kind you find at the secondhand store. No. We want to focus on Jesus the Christ, the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, the official of peace, the supervisor of shalom, the commander of completeness, the chief of contentment, the captain of conciliation. Jesus Christ, the only one who brings peace. We all need peace. We're all looking for peace. We want peace in our minds, peace in our families, peace in our bodies. We want peace in these streets. So how do we get a lasting peace that seems to elude us? How do we get this peace that Jesus promises, this Prince of Peace? He promises us this peace. Well, the first thing that we need to do is we need to receive that peace. We're going to be in the book of Ephesians this day, Ephesians chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, you could turn it on or open them up to Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll be in that chapter starting at verse number 8. But we need to receive his peace. You see, in order to have a personal sense of lasting peace, we need to receive what Jesus has for us. We need to regularly make peace with our Heavenly Father. Why? Because it's only through Jesus the Christ that we can have any sense of lasting peace. Jesus is the one who brings peace into our lives. He's the one who can allow us to have peace in every area of our lives. We can have peace in Jesus, in our joy and in our pain. We can have peace with Jesus in our prosperity and in our poverty, but only through the life of Jesus. So how do we receive this peace? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves. It is a gift, the gift of God." This tells us that our eternal lasting peace, our shalom, our peace with God, our salvation, our connection with Jesus, it happens when we believe. It happens through faith. It's a question: do you believe? Do you believe that you can have peace and a lasting peace at that? Do you believe that Jesus can bring a lasting peace into your life?
Hold on to that question. You see, the only way and the only reason that we can have true peace is because Jesus already paid for that peace. He already gave us that peace. You see, if we look back over our lives and we look at all the things that we've done, we look at all the mistakes that we've made, we look at all the ways that we've fallen short, we look at all the people that we've offended, we can look at our lives and say, you know what, I really don't deserve all that God has already given me or his lasting peace, but it's a gift that he gives us that we can have peace forever. Jesus came to this earth to stand in the gap and pay this penalty that we've offended a holy God, to make this connection and peace between us and God the Father. Jesus has already paid it all. Jesus has already paid for your peace. He's already paid the bill. Have you ever tried to pay for a bill that's already been paid for? You're wasting your money. You're giving money. You're throwing it out the window. I remember taking my daughter to Red Robin, yum, one of her favorite restaurants, all right? We went to Red Robin, and we saw a family from the church. This was back in Syracuse. We took her, I took her to Red Robin. We saw this family from Syracuse Vineyard Church there, and we stopped, and we had a conversation with them. They were sitting down eating, and so our server came over to us and said our table was ready. We went over to our table, said our goodbyes, and they eventually left. We sat down, we ate our food, and we waited. And we waited. And we waited, and like a half hour's gone by, and I'm like, I don't have that much conversation for my daughter. I'm struggling right now. I'm looking around for the server, like, okay, it's time to go. Where are you? I get up. I try to find. I finally found her. I pull my credit card out. I say, listen, it's time to go. I'm looking for you. I'm looking to pay this bill. Where have you been? Are you been on break? I mean, I thought you quit or something. I'm trying to be an upstanding citizen. I'm not trying to run out the door. Get him. He ran out the door with his daughter. He ate the food and ran. No, I don't want the police involved, right? I want peace in my life. Remember I told you that? So I try to pay her for this meal, and she says, no. What do you mean, no? No, because your meal has already been paid for. I said, what? She said, that family that you were talking to when you came in, they paid for your food before they left. I said, wow, what a blessing. What a gift that was. You see, I'm still trying to pay for a bill that's already been paid. I thank God for his favor and for his blessing in that, right? What I'm trying to relate this to is Paul, what he's saying in this verse is that our peace has been paid for and it is a gift from God. You couldn't pay for it even if you wanted to pay for it. You can't afford to pay for it. He's already foot the bill. And so often, we're trying to pay God for what he has already freely given. How offensive is that? You see, some of us come to church to work. And I'm not complaining. Come on, we need you. But some of us, we have this mindset. We come to church and we do all of the volunteering that we do. We try to do extra. We try to kick it up a notch. And we try to do more and more because we're trying to pay God for what he has done for us. We're trying to earn what he's freely given to us. We're trying to please a holy God and say, please accept all of this stuff that I can do for you. Now, doing stuff is good. Trying to please God is good. But we can't do that to pay him for what he's done. We need to shift our mindset and say, listen, I do for God. I volunteer in the church. I do all that I do in appreciation for what you've already done for me. Thank you for your favor. Thank you for your love. Thank you for all that you've done, the peace that you've promised me in my life. I thank you for that. It's an appreciation. Listen, if you have never experienced this peace that Jesus can bring, if you've never invited Jesus the Christ into your life to be the protector of your peace, the provider of your peace, this Prince of Peace in your life. I would ask you at the end of today's service, would you come up to the front to the prayer teams? They'll be on either side of the stage. They'll be here ready to pray with you about anything you have going on. But especially ask them to pray for your peace. Pray that the Holy Spirit would, that they would invite the Holy Spirit to bring that gift of peace into your life. That they would invite Jesus Christ to transform your life. That you could have this eternal and everlasting peace. Don't leave here today without that free gift. The second thing that we need to do to have a sense of lasting peace is this. After we have made peace with Jesus, we need to learn to rest in his peace. Rest in his peace. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 14. It says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." There's so much in this text right here. But Jesus is our peace. Not our bank account, not our health, our position in society, not the groups that we hang with, not our ethnicity, not our political affiliation. None of those are our peace, or none of those can give us lasting peace. We need to learn to rest in Jesus, who is our peace. Let me read one more verse to you. Hopefully it'll make it a little more clear and help us with this. John chapter 14, verse 27. This is a quote from Jesus. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives." You see, we may be thinking that, you know what, I'm going to get that peace when I get this amount of money in the bank. I'm going to have peace when I get that job. When I finally get that job, that's when I'm going to have. When I get that spouse on my arm that I've been waiting for, that's when I'm going to have peace. When we finally have kids, that's when I'll have peace. Let me let you know, that ain't when you get peace. I'm telling you from experience. It's not when you get stuff that you get peace. Jesus is saying, no, I am your peace. Jesus says his peace is not obtained like the rest of the world feels like they get peace. His peace is not fleeting. His peace is permanent. His peace, watch this, is a choice. He said, "My peace I give to you." He's given it already. The question is, are we laying down his peace and picking something else up? You see, a lot of times we leave his peace behind. We allow the world to rob us of our peace, or we allow ourselves to rob ourselves of peace because we leave his peace and focus on all of the other things surrounding us. I remember Peter. This isn't in the message. So listen, Peter, I need to stick to the script, but I'm going off because I think the Holy Spirit has something here. Look, when Peter stepped out of the boat, y'all remember that, into a storm, surrounded by the wind and the waves, Jesus was on the water standing there with him. And he got out and he stood on water. In the midst of a storm, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of hell breaking loose all around him. And what happened? He stood on water. We don't spend enough time talking about Peter standing on that water, walking on that water, treading on top of his problems. That thing that could take him down, he was on top of it until he took his attention off of Jesus. I think it's so much in that story that we lose our peace, we lose everything when we take our focus off of Jesus. When we choose, watch this, you choose to take your focus. Jesus has so much for us if we learn to focus on him, even in the midst of tough situations. Listen, many of us know people who have experienced tough situations in life. I mean, real tough. I'm talking about real stuff. Not just, oh, I stumped my toe. Ah, that's bad. Yeah. But I'm talking about somebody, maybe you or somebody you know has gone through a cancer diagnosis and the hellacious treatment that comes along with it. That's real tough. Maybe you know someone who has gone through an environment, a neighborhood that experienced hellacious violence. Or you've had violence enacted on you. Maybe you have lost a child. Real problems. Maybe you're fighting and struggling with infertility. Or you know somebody that is. Tough stuff, real stuff. Maybe you know someone who's experienced systemic hate all their lives. And when you look at that person and you say, wow, how in the world do you stay alive? How do you keep your sanity? How do you keep smiling? How do you keep your head up? And you go through all of that. You know how? Because they focus. It's on Jesus. Jesus can take you through the toughest of situations in life if you keep your focus on him. But when we take our focus off, we're like, God, why me? And I can imagine Jesus saying, why not you? I knew that you could take it when I presented it to you, or when I allowed it to come through. Because ultimately, Jesus has a greater purpose for everything that he allows in our lives. We just don't always see it that way. He has the helicopter view of our lives, and we have to learn to trust him and rest in his peace. Often, our most peaceful times with Jesus take place during the most chaotic seasons in our lives. What does it mean to rest in Jesus? It means to let go of the stress, to take our attention off of the problems, take our attention off of the anxiety, take our attention off of our loss, and we should choose to focus and rest in him and not the problem. One way to do this practically is to surround yourself with people who will help you to keep that focus. Surround yourself with people who will help you to keep your attention on him. Surround yourself with people who won't sap your energy, who invest in you, who pour in you, who will encourage you to fight. People who will encourage you to take the next step, to move forward so you don't sulk. Someone who will encourage you to pray and will pray for you. When you surround yourself with those people and not the negative talkers, the gossipers, and all those other people, they just destroy your life. It might feel good for a moment. Oh, she said what? But they sap your energy. Surround yourself with people who love you and will pour into your life, and they will help you to focus so that you can rest in Jesus. Finally, last thing, to have true and lasting peace in our lives, we must reciprocate his peace. Reciprocate. To reciprocate means to respond to an action with a corresponding action, right? To give and to take mutually. So Jesus has given this peace, right? How am I supposed to give peace back to Jesus? Jesus, you got everything. What do I give the person who has everything? Jesus wants us to give peace to someone else. Matthew chapter 25 is a great example of this. Jesus said, when I was hungry, when I was thirsty, when I was homeless, when I was needy, when I was naked, you took care of me. He tells his followers that. And his followers said, Jesus, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you needy? When did we see you naked? Because we wasn't trying to see that. Keep your robe on, Jesus. Keep your robe on. When did we see that, Jesus? Jesus said, when you did this for the least of these brothers and sisters, you did it for me. When we do for others, we're doing for Jesus. When we, that is what reciprocating peace is all about. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 15 says, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thereby making peace. Jesus made peace by, watch this, creating unity. I believe that we will see greater peace in our world, in our family, in our neighborhoods, when we learn to trust Jesus to guide us as we work to intentionally seek peace with those whose perspectives we are opposed to. Say what? Jesus is in the business of making peace between opposing parties. Oh, you messing with my politics, Gary. What were you talking about? Jesus is not interested in polarization. Jesus is interested in bringing the two to be one. He says he brings peace by bringing unity. That opposing party just might be your family member at the dinner table this Christmas. Who are you making peace with? How are you making peace with that person? Jesus is waiting for us, human beings, those who have called themselves his followers, to work toward unity and peace. Now listen, we don't have to always agree with everybody. That is not what he's asking us to do. But those of us who call ourselves, consider ourselves Christians, followers of Jesus, we must be able to live at peace with and love those with whom we disagree. You have to if you're going to call yourself a Christian. Otherwise, take the name off. When we learn to start loving each other like Jesus loves, we will see the peace that the Prince is willing to bring. When we start loving like Jesus loves, we will start to see the transformation of our churches. When we start to love like Jesus loves, we'll see the transformations of our communities that those churches are located in. When we start to love the way Jesus loves, we'll start to see the transformation of our neighborhoods that we, the lovers of Jesus and others, live in. When we start to love like Jesus, we'll see the transformation of our children and the schools that they go to every day. We will start to see the transformation of the Twin Cities in our lifetime. We will see more peace when we find unity with opposing parties. Speaking of opposing parties, my cousin is driving away, eating his French fries in his car as he drives. And he's just enjoying himself. And he goes and he just kills those fries. He goes, he can't wait. He reaches in the bag and he pulls out his sandwich. He can't wait to get this sandwich that he specifically customized at Burger King. He unwraps it while he's driving and he smells the freshness of that bread that he recommended, that he asked for. He bites into that bun and oh, Oh, it's so nice and soft and warm and toasted just the way he asked for it to be. He bites down into that sandwich and he feels the crunch of the crisp, fresh lettuce that he wanted on his sandwich. Oh, it was delightful, nice and cool and crisp, the contrast with the warm bread. And then he bites into those tomatoes and oh, how sweet and lovely those tomatoes are in that sandwich, just so juicy and delicious and perfect. The meat was perfectly cooked. He was enjoying this first bite of that sandwich. And as he pulled that sandwich away from his face, there was something else in that sandwich that wasn't expected. There was something else that was in that sandwich that he didn't order. There was something else in that sandwich that was long and stretchy. There was something else in that sandwich when he pulled it away, it fell down and slapped him in his chin as he drove. That something that was in his sandwich was a rubber glove. And we learned a valuable lesson on that day that you should learn today if you haven't learned it by now. The lesson that my mama taught me is that we have to learn to live at peace with all people, no matter what, especially those who prepare your food. So why don't the worship team, why don't you come on up? For those of us who need to have some lasting peace in our lives, we must learn to receive his peace. We need to learn to choose to rest. Make that choice to rest in his peace that he gives and to reciprocate his peace by showing peace to others and watch God give us this sense of lasting peace in our lives. See, God wants us to be the peace that we want to see in our world, in our neighborhoods, in our families. He wants us to be that peace. I want to ask you as we close this message to commit to do something this holiday season. What I want to ask you to do is to intentionally seek peace with a family member you may be opposed to. That person who rubs you the wrong way, that you know you're going to see this holiday season, don't avoid them. I want to ask you to lean in and seek peace with that person. At this time, we're going to prepare for communion. So as the worship team prepares to play, with those of you who are helping with communion, come on up. Come on up and grab your baskets. See, communion is a time where we remember what our Lord Jesus has done for us. It is a time where we remember his ultimate sacrifice, that he came to earth to die on a cross for our sins. Come on over here. You can stand right there. And so we want to remember him. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse 24 says, and you can stand if you would. Would you stand as we prepare for communion? It says, at the table, he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. He said, this is my body that is given for you. Take it and eat. And in the same way, he took the cup and he said, this is my blood of the new covenant. Would you take this and drink it? And so we do the same today as a reflection, as a remembering that the Lord Jesus gave his all on Calvary's cross so that you and I could experience the lasting peace of God. Now and in eternity. It's not just an eternal thing. We can receive his peace right now. So what I'd like to ask for you to do is to go to the four corners of the room, if you so choose, and grab a communion kit. It's bread and wine and juice in that little kit. And bring it back to your seat. Take a moment to reflect on what God has done for you. Thank him. Ask for forgiveness. Spend one moment with him, and then you can partake in the bread and the juice. There will be a gluten-free option right here, and those are limited. So if you need gluten-free, we do have a basket here in the middle, in the center, for you. After I finish praying, please make your way to communion. Father, thank you. Oh, my God. Thank you for your ultimate sacrifice. I'm grateful for the favor that you've shown on my life. And for every person who's here today, we bless you that you love us so much that you are willing to pay a cost that no one else could pay. And we thank you that we can just receive. We can rest in that gift. Would you please remind us of how good you are in this moment? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.